You are listening to Charlotte Real Estate Talk with Pridemore Properties.
Thank you for joining us today for another episode of Charlotte Real Estate Talk with Mike Hagee. Today we welcome Jen Band. Welcome.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jen.
Yes, glad to be here.
So if you don't mind, we'll just get right into it. Tell us a little bit about you and Playing for Others, which is the organization that you're representing today. If you don't mind, tell us a little bit about the organization yourself.
So Playing for Others, otherwise known as PFO, is a Charlotte nonprofit. We are in our 12th season right now. And it is a leadership training program for teens that combines personal development, service, and the arts to foster leaders who are confident, compassionate, and creative. So that is sort of like the tagline of the organization, right?
Wow. That is, you know, you've been waiting all your life to answer that question.
Right. Right. Yeah. And there are many different pieces and parts that make up Playing for Others. But to give you sort of a base understanding, right now we average about 75 teens in the program. They come from all over Charlotte. So wherever your real estate needs are, we probably have kids in those neighborhoods. So right now there are 36 different schools represented in Playing for Others, everything from, wow. I know, right? Everything from West Charlotte to Country Day to Myers Park to East Mech to West Mech to Geringer, et cetera, et cetera. So the kids come from everywhere, and the program season starts in August, and then it goes until April. And there's lots of different parts of it. The most popular ones, say probably the one of the most beloved is the Buddy program. So as part of that service piece I was talking about, right? So the Buddy program, two teens in the organization pair up with a child with a disability or their sibling and develop a year-long relationship. And we use the arts as a way to bridge that divide between them, which is such a beautiful thing to see, right? Like being able to take something like the arts that is so universal and use it to build relationships between people who are different is an incredible thing to see. So the Buddy program is a huge crowd pleaser. In addition, the teens participate in a fall arts experience and a spring arts experience. And those are different events where they will use spoken word, music, dance, photography, visual art, fashion, and they will work on a project that is most of them, I would say, are about honoring and lifting up other people. So, for example, we just did an event in the fall called Dinner Slam, and the teens honored 10 local nonprofits by bringing their mission vision to life through spoken word. Wow. And then we did an evening of that and had adults perform who had never done spoken word before in the second act. And people are just, they're blown away by the teens' talent, their passion, and really that understanding that what it means to take what you're passionate about and use it to benefit the greater good.
That's phenomenal.
That's awesome. It almost sounds like personal development. I mean, that you're cultivating within these teens that in a time period where it's so transitional and, you know, there's all this self-consciousness and mm-hmm. What type of awareness you see these kids flourish between August and the end of the program in April. You see a different type of kid that comes out of their shell.
Massive, 150, I mean, just 150 degree difference, right? So the teenage years, I mean, when we were growing up, it was a very different time, right, versus now. And the teens that are in the program now, I was saying to a friend the other day, I can't imagine being a teenager in today. I can't, like, the social media, the pressure, like everything, the college, the all of it, right? Yep. And so we have teens that come in that really have such a lack of self-confidence. They're so insecure about who they are, and they're teens, right? So the number one question that a teenager is asking themselves in their developmental time frame is, who am I? Mm. And who am I is one of the two core questions of Playing for Others. So the first one is, who am I? And the second is, how will I give of that? Right? So we figure out who we are as individuals, and we help guide the teens. We surround them with so many supportive communities, both their peers, teens in the program who serve as leaders, and then also our adult advisors who are experts in the arts. And so you're wrapping these teens in this incredible support system as they're trying to navigate, who am I, right? And like mm-hmm. dealing with comparison despair and negative thoughts and all of those things. And so through the personal development side, it both naturally happens in the arts programming and then also in the service programming in the buddy program. But then they also receive what we call life talks. So a life talk is an interactive workshop based on a very specific personal development tool. And what's really cool about that is we'll hear from teens when they're in college, beyond, teens in the program currently, and they'll say things like, the other day, I realized I needed to have a seek first to understand moment with a friend of mine because I was making an assumption and I was taking something personally.
That's huge.
It's massive. Wow. Right?
I mean, really, the foundation that you're laying through this program, and they're giving tools that they can use in real life and as they grow as mm-hmm. human beings. Mm-hmm. So if you could tell us a little bit about how it got started. How did how did this program get started?
It's quite an interesting story. So when I first moved to Charlotte, I was working at the Children's Theater of Charlotte, which I love. And when I was in college, I had worked at the Boggy Creek Camp in Cache, Florida, which Paul Newman started. So if you know or have ever heard of the Hole in the Wall camps, Paul Newman started them. There's a series of them. They're all over the world now. But they're camps specifically for kids with chronic and terminal illnesses.
Okay.
So I went and worked at the one down in Florida, and it was a game changer. So every week was a different disease. So you, before the kids arrived, you learned about the medical, social, emotional implications of rheumatoid arthritis, spina bifida, cancer, AIDS, HIV, sickle cell, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And while I was there, I started to see sort of looking at the art of theater in a very different way. Like how can the art of theater be used for healing, really, right? And the thing about working with kids with chronic and terminal illnesses is every day is a day. Mm. You know what I mean? Like every day you are singing on your way to activities, you're having random breakout dance parties. And a counselor friend of mine once said, you know, Jen, camp isn't reality, but it's the way reality could be. And that has always stuck with me, always, right? Yeah. That feeling of joy and love and belonging that these kids so desperately needed. So did that for several years, worked at several different camps, came to Charlotte, and they were opening Victory Junction in Random in North Carolina, the Petties, the NASCAR camp, sure. Right? And so my very first boss down in Florida reached out to me and said, we're opening this new camp. Will you come and be a counselor, like help us get it off the ground? And I was like, absolutely. I would love to. I miss camp. Fantastic. So I went. And that summer, the second to last week of camp, we were working with burn survivors. And up until then, I had never worked with burn survivors. And I was specifically assigned to these three teenage boys. And they, all of them, and really everyone on the camp had recently, within the last couple of years or in the last couple of months, been burned and severely. We're not talking about a little bit. We're talking about a lot, right? And the thing about burn survivors, especially in North Carolina, is the summer sun is hot. It's painful. Chemicals in the pool are painful. Showering is painful. So it's difficult in that way. And then the other piece of it is about 85% of the kids have been burned intentionally by family members. So you're walking around with all of that, right? So I'm working with these teenage boys, and the goal was that by the end of the week, they would start sharing their stories. So that begin their healing process, right? And so we were sitting on the cabin porch. It was late at night, and they start telling their stories. And at the end of one of them, and I am sitting there like jaw just hanging open, right? Like just jaw dropped. The stories were just so unbelievable. And at the end of it, one of them said to the four of us sitting there, you know, like, what if we could take what happened to us and like use it to benefit other people, like use it to inspire other people.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, you are a 16-year-old boy who was recently locked in a barn and the barn was set on fire. Like, and you're already thinking, how can I use this experience to inspire other people? And so, you know, we're on the cabin porch till 2-3 in the morning. And they finally go to bed, and I am wired. Like, I can't stop thinking about our conversation. So I start walking around the camp, and if they ever did an animation of my life, this would be that moment where the lightning bolt hits, you know, like the character has the, like, lightning bolt moment. And I thought, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing? I feel like there's something greater for me. What if I could teach teens that you can take what you're passionate about and use it to benefit the greater good? And so in the next moment, I was like, I'll call it Playing for Others. Like, that'll be great. And so I came back to Charlotte And I emailed a bunch of kids I had worked with and said, I have this idea. If you want to hear more about it, meet me at Freedom Park Sunday at 2, which was September 10th, 2006. And I thought, like, you know, 10, 12, maybe 15 kids would show up. We'd bounce around some ideas. We'd figure this thing out. And I show up and there's almost 100 teens and parents there waiting to hear what this idea
was.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so from there, it just snowballed until here we sit today serving all the teens we've served.
I love that. And so tell me, how long has Playing for Others been in existence?
So we've been a nonprofit technically for 12 years.
Okay.
Before that, it was a side project that I thought would just always be a side project, but I think the universe had different plans for me.
Wow, I love it.
Fascinating. That's amazing.
So what are some other tools that you use to help create personal development in these teenagers?
Yeah, so the personal development piece of it, it's huge. And I think really one of the keys that they learn early on is the tool of recognize, release, replace. So recognize, like, when the reason that we show up the way that we show up all originates with a thought. And a thought that we think over and over again becomes a belief, mm-hmm. right? So everybody is walking around with a set of beliefs. And some of those beliefs are really positive. And most of those beliefs, unfortunately, are very negative. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I don't have what it takes. I'm not as good as blank, whatever. And so when we can get teens to the place where they can recognize when that belief is happening. So let's say the belief is, I'm not good enough. So they recognize it. And then the next piece of that is they have to make a choice to release that. Like, that thought no longer serves me. And then they have to replace it, because if they don't replace it, they're just going to go right back to it, right? So then they replace the thought with, I am good enough, or I am worthy, or I am whatever. Like, what you put after your I am is so
an intentional
critical.
Effort.
Yes.
Recognizing,
releasing,
stepping back, looking mm-hmm. at it, mm-hmm. and then proclaiming and setting a new intention.
Yes, absolutely. And then you have to start thinking about, if I am good enough, then what are the things that people who think they are good enough, what are the things that they say, and what are the things that they do? And so even if you're not there yet, you start stepping into that. You start acting as if, and you're not faking it until you make it. You're faking it until you become it, right? Which is really different.
You have to do before you can be.
Right, right. And that's where if we can really have the teens have their, if we can shift their thinking, right, and the awareness of their thinking, then it will shift their entire life, and it is a lifelong transformation.
And you've touched on that with regard to someone's experience, a child's experience before they enter the program. What are some of the roadblocks? Obviously, you have a program where people adopt and they get into it and they start to figure out, okay, maybe they question their own beliefs up to that point. What other challenges do the kids face as you're trying to help them maybe question those beliefs?
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I think one of the biggest ones is what is being modeled at home by their parents. Mm-hmm. So if a parent is using complaining as a way to forge connection with other people, they're learning that. They're seeing that that's normal, right? Or if they're hearing a mom say, oh, God, I'm so fat, or whatever, or just the way in which their parents both engage with them and engage with other people, how they walk into a room, how they handle conflict, how they take care of themselves. Like, do they take time for self-care? Do they set clear boundaries? Do they say no? If a teen, you know, we only have them for a certain amount of time. And so sometimes, depending on the family life, it's an uphill battle, right? Because right. they're spending more time not with us. And so yeah. it becomes really important for them to have that support even when they're not with us.
And how do they get that support?
Yeah, so I'm so glad you asked that. It's actually one of my favorite things about Playing for Others. So, you know, for a long time we were like, oh, technology, teens and technology, get off your phones, you know, sort of all that. And to be fair, Playing for Others is a phone-free zone. So when teens come to any of our programming, they actually turn their phones in, right?
That.
And oftentimes if we don't have out the phone boxes, they will ask us, which just speaks volumes in terms of what they really want, you know, subconsciously. Anyway, so when they're not with us, every teen is placed into what we call a small group. And a small group is 8 to 10 teens, and they have two small group leaders. The small group leaders are teens who have been in the program for more than a year. Most of our teens, once they're in, they're in. They stay in the program. You can join as a rising eighth grader, and you can stay till you're a senior. So we'll have juniors and seniors that will serve as small group leaders. And each small group has a GroupMe, which is just a group texting app. And they check in with their small group every day. And what's incredible is you'll have the teens talking about, I had a really hard day today. I felt as though my teacher's decision was unfair. My parents are fighting a lot. I don't know what to do. And you've got these teens in the small groups who have been in the program for so long and been in the training, especially the personal development. Mm. And so they'll step up and they'll be the models in the GroupMe. So they'll be texting back and saying, you know, did you ask your teacher to have a conversation? Remember, seek first to understand is so important. Or, what can you do today to take care of yourself? What can you do for that? Right. And the other kids are like, you got this. And they'll celebrate, you know, a test grade. They'll celebrate when one of them got up and worked out that morning. Like, yeah, you got this. Good job. Or, you know, we do something called Care Bear Stairs. And so if a teen, I know you guys remember Care Bears, right?
Oh yeah. We remember Care Bears. Yeah,
totally. And like the Care Bear Stair where like the light shines out of their belly, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so if a teen knows they're going to have a particularly challenging moment during their day, they may ask the rest of the group, like, hey guys, you know, I've got a really hard exam coming up. I'm really nervous, whatever, whatever. And they'll be like, okay, when is it and where is it? And so wherever, whenever it is, you like lock in a Care Bear stare, right? So at that time, so let's say it's 2 o'clock, right? And it's somewhere in Uptown. And so at 2 o'clock, the kids in their small group will like take them wherever they are, take a minute, turn themselves towards wherever Uptown is, and they'll like send good vibes and intentions to the teen. How cool
that's
is cool.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love that.
So they've got this. What I love so much about the GroupMe is they've got this positive peer support group in the palm of their hand. And all of a sudden, technology is not being used to cut them down, is not being used for comparison, but instead it's actually being used to lift them up.
This is like a Tony Robbins for teens. I mean, I feel like it's a boot camp.
You know what? I'm hearing things.
I mean, these are incredible principles.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're genuine, foundational. I mean.
Oh my God. Scott, what if we're.
I know. She's speaking to me.
I'm like, man, I feel like we're. I feel the Care Bear stare. Did you stare before you came
kindred,
in?
We're kindred spirits here.
I put some Care Bear stare energy here before I got here because I think it's really important you know, how you step into a room.
That's incredible.
Agreed.
Yeah. So tell us, what other mantras? I love, you know, seek first to understand and the Care Bear stares. Uh-huh. I mean, you got any others?
Sure. Yeah. I think this is one that I often wish more adults would use. And it's funny because it comes from a friend of mine who is a pretty serious improv person. And they do something called a failure bow. And a failure bow is really when you take accountability for yourself. So if, for example, if I was late this morning for recording this podcast, as soon as you guys walked in, I would have introduced myself, or as soon as I walked in, because I was the one that was late, right? Like I would have introduced myself and I would have said, hey guys, I need to take a failure bow. I should have left a little bit sooner so I could be here on time. I'm really excited about recording this podcast, but I need to take that failure bow. Right. And so when a teen in Playing Feathers takes a failure bow, it's an opportunity for them to say,
take ownership.
Hey, I was in the wrong. And it's not like when a teen will sometimes physically take a failure bow, like they'll actually bow after they say the thing and the rest of the room will applaud. So it's being positively reinforced for owning your mistakes, for owning your challenges, and for saying, hey, I recognize and I want to be better. And so
that is so here, you know, I love that. That's so counterculture to teens these days. Uh-huh. Hey, I can say that. I have one and another preteen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
me too.
And yeah, and I know. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, that's just incredible. I'm just sitting here with a smile on my face. I just can't wait to continue to have more conversation around this.
Yeah.
That principle, failure bow, I never heard it put that way. I've always heard like fall on the sword and like kind of that idea of like, you know, like I'm going to take ownership and, you know,
right.
Instead of running away from it. Mm-hmm. I'm like embracing it and making sure that it's known.
I just have to believe there's actually a transformation taking place at home that the parents recognize.
Wow.
And so the child is bringing home stuff the adult needs help.
Well, it's funny you say that. We have been asked so many times, when are you going to do PFO for adults? When are you going to do PFO for adults? And we've talked about it. And, you know, that might be in the future at some point. I think it's so interesting, the falling on the sword, because to me, I hear that. I totally get it. And yet it's so graphic, right?
Like, it is graphic.
You think about it. And it's also, it's violent and it's painful,
yeah,
right?
Good point.
So it's like you're connecting for people, owning your mistakes and taking accountability for who you be and what you do is a painful thing. And what we're saying is it's a thing to applaud. Mm-hmm. So you take that bow and it's a thing to applaud. So it's just a little shift in thinking.
I will say, as business owners, you know, Mike and I, we talk about, you know, our team and employees and obviously anybody we interact with. We appreciate it when someone makes a mistake and they own it. I have tremendous respect.
Yeah, because what it builds trust.
What I have trouble tolerating is someone that gives me excuses.
Right. Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's a total trust builder, right? And so when we look at...
That's an incredible tool for the teens.
Absolutely.
I mean, for adults.
Absolutely. And what's interesting is the stuff that they're studying, you know, earlier you joking and said Tony Robbins for teens, it's actually not super far off from that, which is really interesting. But so with regards to trust, Brené Brown, I mean, it's just incredible. And she has something called the Braving Model. And we teach that to our teens. So the Braving Model, it really breaks down trust, right? So when trust is gained or trust is broken, it's really one of the following issues. So it's either boundaries, reliability, accountability, vault, integrity, non-judgment, or generous assumptions. That's actually what's happening. And so when somebody says to somebody else, I don't trust you, it means a lot. Like it's kind of, that's so weighted. So when you can get really specific with someone and say, hey, my trust is in question right now. And the reason is because, you know, in terms of the Braving Model, for me, the accountability, I felt very betrayed. I felt like there wasn't an opportunity for us to have a conversation. And so I want to have that conversation now.
Wow.
Wow.
So,
that's a great framework.
Absolutely. So I'm just, anxious to hear, you know, you've grown this organization through the years. Where do you see this going? Like how well you're impacting so many lives in a positive way. You got to feel like you want to expand that.
Well, interesting. I think for the first many, many years, it was about expand, right? And it was figuring out what works, what doesn't work, because the magic sauce of PFO is truly the combination of these program elements and how much they get of each and when they get it. So we know that that's the magic sauce. And then it also takes the community surrounding the kids. It takes the support. I mean, it takes a lot of other things too, but that's really that magic sauce. And so, you know, we've been asked about, can you serve more teens? Will you open other chapters? We've been approached by other cities asking us to come open a chapter there. And we've been asked about summer camps. We've been asked about PFO for adults. And I think, you know, in the last two or three years, those things have always been entertained in my mind. And I also really firmly, firmly believe in sustainability. And so, you know, as a nonprofit, that landscape is ever changing. And we are experiencing that absolutely. I mean, we're a nonprofit. There are growing pains. And it's not just about the programming. There's a business to run. And you've got to figure out the business side of it to make it sustainable. And so, you know, we know at this point the programming is so strong. We're like, yes, the programming is amazing. We've got to figure out the business side of things. And when we can figure out the business side, when we can make sure that we have diversified revenue streams coming in, when we can make sure that our cash flow is, you know, consistent, like then we've got something that is sustainable so that when my time is done, it is still there.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. And how do you have support? Tell us a little bit about your team, the folks that helped to make this happen.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a great board of directors, a super diverse board of directors. As with, you know, most nonprofits, your board of directors is key. We have a staff that is not only, dedicated to what we do, but are constantly in their own personal development, right? So you got to be willing to do what the teens are doing in order to be a part, right? Mm-hmm. So that is a huge piece of it. I mean, a massive piece of it is our donors, right? Like, we have so many fans in Charlotte. We have a great reputation, which I'm very proud of, and we've spent years building. And so when people in the community come to see our events, they're blown away. Just blown away by the skill, the talent, and the message, right? Because it's sort of, it's not just a show. It's right. a show to honor somebody else. It's a show to lift someone else up. So our donors are incredible. They're key to our success. I mean, you know, unfortunately, financially, that's a part of it. Like, you have to be mindful of that and fiscally responsible and love on your donors and all of those wonderful things. And we do that tenfold. And our corporate partners, grants that we've received. So there's a lot of different pieces that help make up that business side. And we're always looking for new partners and really unique, fun partnerships, because that's who we are as an organization. I mean, our name is Playing for Others, you know, so we're a little bit different in terms of how we engage with other people.
Absolutely. And you're personified in that. You're super fun.
Awesome. You are. Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
So, how are you getting the word out? Tell us a little bit about, you know, your strategy for Playing for Others and finding new partners.
Yeah. So a lot of our partners in that way come from leads, right? So a board member might suggest something. We've had people approach us because they saw a partnership we have with somebody else and said, like, hey, I want to get in on that. Mm-hmm. With our families, they see the transformation in their teen. And so they are like, what can I do? Like, how can I support? What can I do? And so if we say, like, for example, we have our big arts festival coming, which I hope you guys will come to. I think you'll really enjoy it. You should bring your kids.
While we're there, when is it?
Yes. So we open on March 5th. All of our events will be at Warehouse 242, and there will be an original musical, which is co-conceived of and written with New York playwright James Kennedy, who was an alum of the program.
Wow.
So he and I work on an original musical every year. There will be a fashion experience, which I'm really excited about, and an event called Heartbeat, which they will use music, spoken word, and dance to explore a social issue. We do a red carpet event, which is the big finale for our buddies. Those are the kids with disabilities the teens work with, I was talking about earlier. And with the red carpet event, the buddies they'll get their hair and makeup done. They'll ride in a limo to the theater. They'll walk the red carpet. There's paparazzi. Oh. And then they'll go into a show. And the show this year is a new original children's show. And it's a mixed cast of kids with disabilities and teens on stage together. So it's great for fantastic. People who have young kids to bring them to experience that level of acceptance. And then we'll do that same event as a children's show. So there's lots of different events for Arts Festival. It's a ton of fun. You can find all of them on our website, which is playingforothers.org.
Playingforothers.org. And you guys are on social as well.
We are on social media as well. Yes, on Instagram, it is playingforothers, the number 4, and on Facebook, Playing for Others.
We will definitely, in the show notes when we post, we'll include this in a link directly to. Yeah.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Just one other question. I'm curious, there's so much talk about mindset and personal development and growth, mm-hmm. and we love these topics. You're like, this is daily for us. We love that as part of the conversation. Are there any books, resources, podcasts that you're helping that immersion and that mm-hmm. transformation take place offsite that these folks?
Well, she mentioned Brené Brown.
Yes.
So
Brené Brown, we love her.
Yeah.
If you have not, I feel very strongly about this. If you have not studied the Four Agreements, you need to. It is every day I strive to live those Four Agreements. It's a book by Don Miguel Ruiz, and it's been around for a while. And there are four of them, and they're super simple. And I can tell you what the four agreements are right now. They are: don't take it personally, don't make assumptions, always do your best, and be impeccable with your word.
Wow. Mic drop.
So powerful, right? So
exactly.
Like, imagine if you could live life with those four agreements, the ease and the peace and the groundedness that you would experience in all of your interactions and in your interactions in your inner self.
Certainly.
Huge, huge.
Wow.
Mind blowing. Wow. I mean, really.
I am all over it. I'm on Amazon as soon as we get this.
One click, man.
Right.
All you get is one click.
Right,
one
now,
click.
Buy now.
Definitely. Yeah. Anything else? I mean, obviously that's the one.
That's the big one for me. That's definitely the big one. And then I think like there's always, you know, I love personal development. And so there's always different people that I'll pull a little bit from here and there. And once it's sort of pulled, it's like two things happen, right? So you pull from a lot of different places and then you have this knowledge of teenagers and people in general, not just teens, but obviously I work with teens, but so you pull your knowledge of teens and how they receive information and also know what their main struggles are. And so you take those two things and you put them together. And then out of that comes a curriculum that is not only appropriate for them, but we have advisors who are in the room. So these are the adults I was telling you about, which we have the most incredible team, and they're in there and they have all shared that what they're getting out of the program is so much more than they're giving, both in the service part of working with young people, right, and helping to shape that, but also what they're getting personally in their own lives.
Wow. I can't wait to continue the conversation and to be a resource for you and help.
Awesome. So, well, I got your name down now.
We're in.
Yeah. Yay!
We're in. So awesome. Let's talk about how we can help.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, with that, we very much appreciate you being here with us. Playing for others, those listening to the podcast, we do hope that you'll look into it and see the value that we've experienced through this conversation.
Yes, and applications are out for next season. So every year we accept new teens into the program. So you can go on the website, the application is there. And applications are due April 1st. So come see an arts festival event, check it out, reach out to us. If you have a teen rising eighth through senior in high school, and then there's an interview process and we make sure that it's a fit on both sides and then the transformation begins.
Do you mind if I ask with regard to the application and the review process, what you're looking for to see who is the best fit?
Sure. Yeah. It's interesting. It's teens who want it.
Okay.
If they want it, like if they want to be there and they're saying, I am an open book, I am a sponge, pour into me, they are the teens that will have the highest level of transformation.
Incredible.
But that openness and that willingness, that eagerness, you can't teach that. You gotta want it.
Right.
And that's true for a lot of things in life, but particularly if you're really open to change and receptive to that. Mm-hmm. That's a prerequisite, I would think. So yeah. I could see that being the baseline. Makes a lot of sense.
Jen, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
We appreciate it. Jen Band, I'm Scott with Mike Hagee. Thank you for joining us.
Listen, download our podcast, or find out more about Charlotte Real Estate at pridemoreproperties.com.